You are tuned to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Looks like we're going to have to play around with the mics. Some of our mics don't seem to be plugged in here. This is 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. And I'm your host, Bathrop Spear, Robert Norris. This is 2.5 hours ahead of you nearly. Lots of interesting stuff in the last few days, including some particularly revealing interviews. The first one we're going to have is with a man named Robert, who spent 3 months in jail for sleeping recently. The actual charges were trespass, and he was not really convicted of the first two charges, but chose to use jail as a form of shelter. What concerns a lot of us, particularly those of us who have been clustering around the Homeless Issues Task Force, is why social service providers would put him in a position where he would have to be forced to make those choices around jail as shelter or risking the sleeping ban, the Santa Cruz law that makes sleeping outside after 11 o'clock a $54 fine. Well, let's say no more and go directly to this interview. Find the proper tape here, which I'm pretty hopeful we can. It's one of those mornings. We're also going to have an interview with Aaron Birch, and we're going to have a kind of a transcription of a debate that happened at the town clock on Thursday evening. That's the evening that the execution against of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the arrest, the execution warrant being signed, prompted a large but largely unreported in the mainstream media protest urging freedom for Mumia Abu-Jamal. And after that rally, there was a debate at the town clock between white separatists and Mumia supporters who really got into it in a very interesting way. And after that, I had a long interview with Aaron Birch, the man convicted of assaulting a homeless man, Joe Barker, in what Barker and other witnesses described as attacks with clubs, fists, boots, and chains. Of a bloody sort, unprovoked, in which the assailants came out and said, "Please, get up," and then began beating up the three homeless people that were sleeping in that that area in the back, and sort of was an area along River Street. It was way back in April or May, and that was the only crime for which there have actually been arrests in the anti-homeless beatings. You've heard of other people being arrested in, I think, some Neary Lagoon incident. That is not the same situation, though it is a hate crime. But in terms of the 20-plus anti-homeless hate crimes, there's only been one arrest. Actually, there was a second arrest in the same crime, a juvenile who I think is still going to trial. Anyway, we're going to be hearing that. And we're hoping to have an interview with, we'll see if she calls in. It's a woman who's been following the Yugoslavian protest for quite a while. She's been over to Yugoslavia, and we're going to be kind of updating on what's happening there, since there are some cases coming into court that concern the peaceful protest against the war in Yugoslavia that happened this summer. If you have anything you want to contribute to this discussion, if you have any questions, if you want to bring up other topics concerning civil rights of the homeless, please give us a call here at Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM at studio call-in line 427-3772. That's open. We may even interrupt our taped interview, which is going to make up a lot of this show, to bring you into the discussion. We're also hoping to have an interview with Jane Baer, who is going to give us up to date as an activist from the Beach Flats on what the Santa Cruz Council is planning next Tuesday for its housing element. In fact, that may be her now, who knows. And also what happened last Wednesday at the Beach Flats. Sounds like our caller started to call but stopped calling. So, let's go, and let's begin with 3 months in jail for sleeping. You be the judge. Hi, we're in front of Bunny Shoes on October 15th, 1999, and we're talking to Robert Steffen. And Robert, you're looking comfortable here. You have your possessions with you in it's not a shopping cart, but how would you describe this?
It's a TV cart. With the casters about to break. My hope is to get something with big wheels so I can go, because I think this is going to break in like a couple of days.
Dig it. And it's, you also have a parasol. Actually, it's a full umbrella, a black and white umbrella against the sun.
Yes, I tried to get an all-black one, but oh well, this is what I have.
That's all right. It's mixed colors, and it shows a sort of a racial amity, togetherness, that sort of thing.
I suppose.
Yeah.
You also have brown in it.
No brown, and I also no yellow as well.
Yeah,
not to mention no
or red.
Or
green, or purple.
For the extra terrestrial or terrestrial, as you will. So you're a man who has been the topic of some conversation at different homeless issues task force meetings, because you spent a lot of time in jail recently for, what, the serious crime of sleeping on a porch.
Yes, I slept on the porch of the homeless center because I wanted a place, just a roof over my head, and there was a roof over the porch. And they arrested me.
So let's go back a bit. You tried to get into the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program summer program, which really has very few spaces. I think it's about 29 spaces. What happened there?
Well, I was on it for a little while, and they didn't seem to take to me. They wanted to get rid of me because of my hygiene. And then they couldn't do that because there's nothing wrong with my hygiene.
You smell fine to me. I'm standing pretty close to you.
And so
your glasses are a little fogged up there.
Okay, well, you shouldn't regulate people's that kind of thing. I mean, we are homeless. Give me a break. That's a break, anyway. Anyway, but what they finally booted me for was the fact that I didn't want to...
One moment.
Sure.
I'm sorry, you were saying, so you tried to get into the program, or you were in the program, and your hygiene, what is all that about?
Well, the hygiene issue... that wasn't what booted me. You wanted me to get into why I was kicked out?
Yeah, tell me about that.
Okay, what it was is they required everyone to do work. But I found a lot of the people in the group were mean to me. And so I decided not to clean up after them, but only to clean up after myself.
So by the people mean to you, meaning people who were clients or people who were the workers, supervisors?
Both.
Okay. Give us an example of what you mean by mean to you.
Well, I don't know, just, you know, impolite and not kind. And mm-hmm. and so I just decided I didn't want to work for them. And I also feel that I don't feel like working, and I shouldn't have to work for my shelter. I think all people deserve food, clothing, and shelter,
mm-hmm.
no matter who they are. Maybe not a large amount of shelter, but a minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to work, and they said, if you don't work, you're off the group.
And do other people, as a matter of course, work in this situation? Are they... I mean, is it like a standard obligation, or were you being targeted specifically?
Well, I feel I was being targeted, but it is a standard obligation. Yet, what most people do is, you know, sweep the room twice, or pretend to basically work,
mm-hmm.
and so it's fake work. And I don't believe in doing fake work. I feel that's wrong.
So, how long were you on the program before they kicked you out?
Almost 2 months, I think.
And how long before the time they warned you that you had? Throughout that entire period of time, you didn't do the work or fake work that they assigned, or you did it for a brief period of time and then stopped?
Well, at first it wasn't an issue. They didn't even mention it because they were trying to get me off the roof by focusing on my hygiene.
And later on, what did they say about your hygiene?
Well,
if you feel uncomfortable talking about that, it's okay.
I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay.
All right. But basically, they made assumptions based on my appearance, and they were...
For the benefit of our radio audience, you're a man with a safari hat covered with brown material and black adhesive tape. You have a little kind of a black visor on that. You have a long red beard and red hair. You have kind of workman's gloves with holes in the fingers, and you have a sort of a dark... long sleeves, and then a black overshirt, and then a black pants, and crumbs, I might add, on your pants, which
all
I
right.
find shocking, and I'm going to call the police immediately. No, we'll wait on that. So, and you're also wearing dark black socks and tennis shoes, and I again smell nothing. Maybe I have a cold, but I don't think so. So it sounds to me, at least, maybe you've cleaned up your act. Have you changed any? No, you're shaking your head about that. Anyway, moving on from the hygiene issue, were they trying to hose you down whenever you came in or something?
Oh, yeah, so it's not that I smell. At least I don't think I do, and other people
have said. I had noticed.
And it was simply the fact that the way I look, they decided...
That made you nervous. It made them nervous.
Exactly.
I see. Did you suggest tranquilizers and psychotherapy?
I should have. Instead, I talked to nurses at Emmeline and doctors at Emmeline and nurses in the nursing station, and they all said, there was no problem with me as far as hygiene, and finally that message got through to the people trying to boot me off for that.
Right.
And
they found another reason to try to boot you off.
Exactly.
So they told you to start working.
Right.
And about what time did this process of work or go begin?
Early July, I would say, or maybe even before that.
And you've been on for about a month before that? Or?
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember when it started, but I was put in jail on the 14th, I think. Well, no, I was arrested. I believe it was the 14th or 13th or 14th of July. I remember I was in jail for the Bastille Day, 14th of July. So,
Others were tearing down the Bastille, or should we say celebrating the memory of that destruction. You were checking out the Bastille from the inside.
Exactly.
So, now, when the police, first of all, did you go to the head of the program, Ken Cole, our great new enlightened director who has taken Karen Gillette's place, and tell him of your situation?
No, I didn't go
to
him.
Did he come to you and talk to you about it?
No.
Has he ever spoken to you?
He said hello, yes.
But he's never talked to you about the situation per se. It said what's cooking and gotten complaints or concerns or tried to negotiate something with you?
No, not really.
So, who told you that you were not welcome in the program?
David Allen, who was one of the monitors.
Was he one of the people that you said was unkind to you, or was he simply transporting a response?
Oh, definitely he was one of the people who was unkind to me.
Did you feel that this initiated from him, or did it come from somewhere else?
From him and most of the, and the other monitor, John, I forget his last
name. Papa John?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's sometimes said that homeless and formerly homeless people who get into these positions, and I believe Papa John was formerly homeless, I don't know about David, have a control problem, that they start acting in a controlish type fashion, which becomes worse than even individuals who are not homeless, who I think might be less sympathetic to homeless people, but nonetheless, homeless people in positions of power sometimes become very abusive, formerly homeless people. Does this ring a chord with you, or what do you think?
Completely. It's exactly how they be. It's very, very controlling. And, yeah.
So, he said, you're out of the program, and your response was?
Well, to go sleep on the porch. I am nonviolent. I don't believe in any other way of doing things, so.
So now, how many evenings did you sleep on the porch before they began to object?
I think it probably was the first evening.
So you weren't even allowed to sleep there at all?
Right.
And who initiated someone called the police?
Dale. He's the cook there.
And had this been another individual who you think had a bee on his bonnet or a lemon up his ass on you or something?
Not about me, but about the homeless in general. Once I asked him about, say, for example, if there was cream of potato soup, and I asked him if there was some, I can't drink, I'm lactose intolerant currently,
mm-hmm.
and he yelled at me for asking, and so, yeah, I think he kind of has an issue.
And so he informed you couldn't be on the porch?
Yes.
And did he say, I'm calling the police?
Yes.
And how much later did the police come?
Half hour.
You remember the name of the officer who arrived?
Not the first one. Not the first two, but the third one I do.
The first one, about what time did he come?
7:30.
And what did he tell you?
He told me to get off the porch or I'd be arrested.
To which you replied?
Well, this was the first time, so I said, okay, but I don't have any shelter. So I'll check out the homeless shelter that's right in the corner. The
River Street shelter, which only allows people who are case managed, or I should say, usually there's a waiting list, and you got to have a 30-day period, and there's a whole series of prerequisites.
Yes, and I don't like that, the entire situation, but I thought they might have emergency shelter.
Right.
I went over, and they had none.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back to the porch and sat down, and then Dale, I guess, must have called again. He did.
And the same officer returned? Or?
Same officer, uh-huh. And I was arrested.
And how did he treat you?
He was cordial.
And he arrested you, and what was the process of that arrest? How did it happen?
Just, you mean, like, told me to get up, walked me out to his car. I think he put the handcuffs on at the car, or it might have been on the porch.
Did he ask you to sign a citation first?
Yes, and I refused.
And that was before he walked you to the car?
Yes.
And you refused because?
Well, because I have no shelter. I had, and And I figured the state, if they arrested me and put me in jail, I would have food, clothing, and shelter.
I see. And so he took you to jail?
He took me to jail, and I had food, clothing, and shelter.
For how long?
For about 30 days until the court date.
Now, so they wanted, no doubt, to OR you, right?
Yes, they did.
And did you refuse?
Yes, I did.
And so you stayed there for 30 days. How was the shelter?
Well, not very good at all. The first 11 days I spent with general population.
Right.
And then since I wasn't showering, they moved me into my own room. I had my own room, which I liked, actually.
Right.
And but the guards, you know, they weren't mean. They were mean. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, the guard was...
Now, so there were complaints from the inmates that you were smelling bad, or?
No, as far as I know, apparently, yes, they must have complained to the guards. Yes. Probably more in my attitude. Because I didn't do anything but lie in bed the whole time. Didn't do anything
else.
So
you were just a laconic prisoner.
Yes,
a lethargic prisoner.
Lethargic. I guess I don't know laconic.
Right.
Lethargic enough.
Sleep addict. Making up for all those sleeping band nights.
Definitely. On those church group even, it's hard to get sleep. There's so much talk, there's so much noise and loud snoring. And so yes, I was sleep deprived, actually.
So you spent a blissful month in jail.
Mm-hmm, basically.
Were many homeless people in the jail with you?
Yes, there were quite a few, actually.
And what cell pod were you in that first time?
Cell
what?
F, I think.
And how many homeless people would you estimate there were there?
I would say there were at least four, five, others, six.
Did you talk to many of the people? Did you get any sense of what people were there for?
I got a sense of it. I wasn't talking to anybody. But there was someone there for marijuana possession.
Mm-hmm.
And probably things like that.
So after a month, you went to, what, before Commissioner Salazar? Or who was the judge, you remember?
No, I don't remember.
What happened in that court situation?
I was dismissed.
Because they didn't want to file charges.
Right.
So what did you do after that?
I went back, I was released.
Yeah. This was in August sometime?
Yes, exactly. About mid-August.
And then what happened?
Then I went, it was about 2 p.m., I went over to the shelter, I ate dinner,
okay.
And I slept on the porch again.
And then what happened?
I was arrested again.
Someone complained about you?
Dale again.
And the same officer or new officer arrived?
New officer.
And how did he treat you?
Very rude, very belligerent.
Remember his name?
No, and he was backed up by a female officer, and they're both very mean.
What did they say to you?
Well, it was both, you know, you have to leave. He also started, like, he put his foot on my sleeping gear while he was talking to me. He was just very, very...
presumptuous? Intrusive?
Yes, exactly, both. Yeah, forward and all that.
Threatening?
Yes, to a point, yes. I felt threatened, yes.
Did you have to file a complaint about him?
No. I mean, I just wish he'd change his attitude.
Right. Well, that might be one way to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
So then they took you, he handcuffed you?
Yeah.
Took you to jail again?
He took me to jail and...
Any details of any of that process which might interest us?
No, I mean, he did his job. He didn't hurt me any. He put the handcuff on pretty tight. But,
right.
You know, he didn't, like, do anything. Like, was
he annoyed that you wouldn't sign the citation?
Yes, he was very annoyed. In fact, instead of bringing me right away to the place, he brought me over to the police station. And then he filled out his paperwork while I sat in the car handcuffed for about, I don't know, an hour or two while he did this process. And then he brought me over to the
prison.
Do
you recall the date of this activity?
That would have been, mid-August. I don't remember exactly.
You have the date on the paper you've given me or not?
Well, on that paper it's not the exact date, unfortunately.
It's probably in your record somewhere. I'd like to file a complaint about that. Because I believe that is abusive behavior to treat a prisoner in that fashion.
It probably is.
So have your permission to file a complaint?
Sure.
Okay. So you then went back to jail?
Yes, I did.
And what happened then?
I was in jail for... Let's see, this was the second time. So again, 11 days and with general population.
Mm-hmm.
And they transferred me over out.
Is there some magic number, 11? What is that about?
I don't know why. I can tell that. That's what I counted, you know.
Right.
Like, on the 11th day, I expected it, and proof, it occurred.
Amazing.
Yeah, so... And so then I went over to K. And so K block was where they transferred me,
right.
Which is a lockdown situation.
Right.
And I stayed there.
And that's where you had stayed before?
Yeah.
And so, how were you treated in lockdown?
Well, same as before, not well, you know. the I'm lactose intolerant, and so they kept giving me milk. I tell them, no, I can't have milk, and right. You know, just, you know, kind of thing. No, I didn't get hurt or anything, but I got strip searched every, you know, all the time. They do that for non-violent people, which is horrible. You know, I don't know where they get this.
They're afraid you might have, you know, maybe picked up some of the local rodents and crammed them into your orifices or something.
Yeah, I guess. But they do that for everybody. No matter what you're arrested for.
They're equal opportunity abusers.
Exactly.
So after that, you went back to court.
Yes, I did.
Remember the judge?
Yeah, I remember him, but I don't remember his name.
Right. And what did he do? What did he tell? What happened then? There was a trespass complaint that was not. Now you refused both to sign the complaint and OR yourself.
Right.
Okay, but again, this was a conscious move because it's not like you have some mental problem and you're unable to understand what's going on. Rather, you feel you understand it too well.
I would agree with you, yes. Many people would disagree.
That's it. Are you diagnosed as manic depressive, schizophrenic, or wild and crazy?
No, I'm not, but some people think I am.
That's it. Well, there you go. So you went back to court, and what happened then?
Again, they dropped the charges at the end of 30 days.
And what was your move?
To go back to the porch. And this time I decided not to camp on the porch till after 10 because I thought it would be a camping ban violation.
After 11, actually.
After 11, it was.
But they can always charge it as trespass. So.
And it was. It was trespass. Right. And proof was taken away.
And how?
It was. But I slept one whole night there.
Oh, because they delayed a night this time?
Yes. I got to sleep outside of prison after 60 days.
Now, is this because Dave Allen was off duty, or?
It was
Dan the cook was off duty.
Yeah.
Dale the cook was off duty.
Yes. I guess he went to sleep and didn't bother checking, because normally he would check about 7. And right. Since it wasn't until 11 that I went, he was probably asleep already. However, the next day I met Miguel, one of the workers there.
Miguel Bustos? Mike Bustos?
Not Mike Bustos, right. But one of the, Miguel, I don't know his last name.
Mm-hmm.
One of the newer guys asked me if I had slept the porch the previous night, and I said yes. And then I tell the truth, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and so then the next night, I was sleeping there, again after 11, and John came out about midnight.
John, oh, Papa John.
Yes, and he saw me and said if I don't leave, he's going to call, and he did.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
And I was arrested again.
How did these police officers treat you?
This officer was pretty nice, if I recall.
Remember his name?
Yes, Bauer.
Officer Bauer. And was he alone?
I think he had backup. The only thing I disagree with what he did is he threw away some of my stuff.
Oh.
Because I had a food container in with a bag of mine, which also contained toothbrush and toothpaste and all my, a lot of papers and personal possessions.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw the rice, and he thought, I guess he thought the whole thing was food or something.
Did you see him see it, or was this later you realized?
I didn't find out until 30 days later when I tried to pick up my possessions.
I see. So you were then taken to jail again?
Yes, I was.
And what were you charged with this time?
A trespass.
And so this is your third month stint in jail for trespass.
Yes.
And this time, did you have the 11-day wonder again?
No, they put me right away in K.
So they decided not going to mess around with you anymore.
Right.
How did they regard you when you came back to jail?
Well, it depends. Individual. Some guards, you know, fine. Other guards, not fine.
And how were you treated this last 30 days?
Well, at least they didn't keep trying to push milk on me, and right. I was able to get juice.
So you were slowly training the staff?
Yes.
Are you getting paid for this training work?
No.
Apparently not. So, another 3 days elapsed, and lo and behold, you came out of your cell yet again.
Yes, and this time the DA decided to go to trial with it.
So they prosecuted you for trespass?
Yes, they did.
Did you get a jury trial?
Yes, I did.
And how long did that jury trial take?
Well, selection was half a day, one day, and the trial was the next day.
And who was your public defender?
Charlie something.
And how was he?
Not
very good.
To say the least.
And how much time did he actually talk to you before he took you into court?
A little bit, not a lot. And also I don't like being touched. It's just one of my...
Right.
And he kept touching me. It was like,
back off.
There's nothing I could do about it.
Right.
It was like, he was my public defender. It was like, yeah. I asked him many times, and he kept doing it.
He kept ignoring it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's hard of hearing.
Oh, that could be.
Or perhaps hard of understanding.
More like.
Or doesn't give a shit.
We hope he does.
We hope he does.
Okay.
Well, we certainly do. Do you remember his last name?
No.
And so what kinds of arguments did he use to show that you are not guilty of trespass? Necessity defense, perhaps?
A little bit, yes, he did mention that.
Because the ICORN decision should allow you to do the necessity defense.
He didn't really do really a great job. He tried a little bit of necessity, I guess.
And what did the DA say?
The DA said I was there and guilty. He didn't.
So they're really determined to give you lodging for longer periods of time.
Well, I was found guilty.
And you're listening to an interview with Robert Steffen on his 90 days in jail for 3 nights of sleeping on the porch of the Homeless Services Center. And I suppose you might say, well, he could have OR'd out, OR meaning he could have signed a statement promising to appear in court and they would have released him the same night, but then where would he have slept legally? So he chose instead to remain in jail, although he said that was no picnic. And we're hearing now about his trial on the third instance for trespass. And again, trespass at where? The Homeless Services Center. At what time? In the evening. Why? Because he was trying to sleep. Had he broken in? Had he broken a window? Was he tagging? Was he hurting the property? No, he was sleeping there. He was sleeping in a place that he thought was safer and in a sense more legal because it was designated by the city as a homeless service center than any other place in the city. And yet, he was arrested and dragged off to jail in handcuffs on 3 separate occasions. To me, this is serious business for the 500 to 1,500 homeless people in our town and the fraction of those, and that's a significant fraction, who use the Homeless Services Center. We're going to hear more of this interview, and we're going to hope also then to switch to Yugoslavia and talk a bit about what's going on over there. But first, we're going to have this hopeful musical break. Let's see if we can carry it off.
Down the alleys, past the houses, where the watchdog watches out for strangers on the list. And I'll pick an address off the sidewalk, pick my way in past the padlock, where the hot wire burglar alarm is sucking up the chiz. One man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times. The dirty son of an L.A. DJ, hot rod racing down the L.A. freeway. Wrong way down the one way right away, right into a crash. They send out for an 8-car, come up and run in with a crowbar, pry him out and work him over so he don't get whiplash. The one man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times. Street corner preacher, he's an ex-karate teacher, a black belt evangelist doing God's almighty will, while the hardcore sinners eat their pornographic dinners and go to church and bribe the minister with a $20 bill. But a one man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times. Old ladies with the nurses carry pistols in their purses to protect them from the children who are out of control. Adolescent alcoholics pickpocket people's wallets to work their way through grade school and make the honor roll. But a one man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times. All the low-down rounders and the dug-in undergrounders hang around with out-of-towners out looking for their chance. Panhandled propositions play upon your superstitions. Sleight of hand, pick the pockets right out of your pants. But a one man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times. The country singer from Tacoma says he's born in Oklahoma, learned to ride in Arizona, and he's got good boots to prove it. And all the jukebox groupies, they all knocking for a loop. He thinks he's got to be the greatest, he's got the record sales to prove it. But a one man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times. Yes, these times they are confusing. It's not to make you blow a fuse, and it's not to make you throw up your hands and say, oh, what's the use? But keep your eyes out on the devil. Looks like we're headed straight for trouble. Looks like this whole wide world, you know, is gonna bust out on the loose. And one man's law, another man's crime, ain't nothing but a sign of the times.
One-year probation.
And what did the judge tell you after that?
Well, that I better not break any laws because I'm on one-year probation, and so...
Specifically, they give you a stay-away order from the Homeless Services Center porch?
I'm away from the Homeless Center when it's not during operation hours.
And did you consent to these conditions?
Yes, I did.
I mean, you could have had a year in jail, a year of accommodations, and you refused?
I decided that being in jail was...
Your probation.
Was not very pleasant.
Similar. Was there any sentence actually given you other than probation?
No.
Okay. So it's potentially up to a year.
Yes. Well, I guess it was a year probation.
Right. So, what did you do that night?
That night, well... I slept outside. I had no blanket. I had nothing. So I was out. And I went to the police station to pick up my belongings. And they said that my possessions were in a storage house somewhere, and I would have to pick it up the following day. And so that night I slept with just my shirt. Let me see here. Mm-hmm. And what I'm wearing, my
red
pants. And so it was very cold and didn't get much sleep.
And where did you sleep?
A
secret location?
A secret location.
Okay. So now, is this, then have you decided essentially to avoid the Homeless Services Center porch? Have they defeated you in your attempt to reform the porch and the Homeless Service Center's authorities?
Well, I don't think they've defeated me. I hope that they understand that I'm really serious about why I did what I did. And that maybe they will start providing some simple shelter there. They could just open one of the bays and let us sleep in there. Or if they had an awning, they could let people sleep there instead of having people sleep, you know, all over the place.
Now, so did anyone come forward and give you a sleeping bag or any other? Did the Homeless Services Center help you with anything?
About 3 days ago, they finally did.
And how long have you been out of jail?
Since the 5th, I think.
So today being the 15th. That's 10 days.
Yeah.
So a week out of jail, they suddenly gave you a sleeping bag? Had you put in a request earlier?
No, what happened was that Marilyn Weaver spoke with me, and she said, and she worked it out such that Mike Bustos got me a sleeping bag. And not only that, I had a shopping cart, mm-hmm. and that shopping cart was taken away by the police. I was told I would get a misdemeanor if I didn't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I can't afford it because of my probation. So I got rid of that, and Mike Bustos also got me the TV cart, which is about to break, and I need something new.
For those who wish to assist Robert here in possibly a new TV carrier or some kind of a carrier which will not be taken by the police, though I understand that there are plenty of people with shopping carts that they aren't harassing. I'm not sure. When did they choose to harass you?
It was like 2 days ago.
And who was the officer involved?
I don't recall.
You know what he looked like? He wasn't an African-American officer, by any chance.
No, he wasn't.
And was it down here on the mall?
Yes. It was right here.
What did the officer tell you?
He told me that there had been some complaints about me being here, and if I didn't leave, that I would get a ticket.
For?
For having a shopping cart with my possessions in it.
So in other words, it wasn't that you had a shopping cart, which it should give you a ticket for anywhere, regardless, but it was for, should we say, not presenting a photogenic appearance on the mall that pleases Bunny Shoes and the Hat Company.
Basically, yes.
You're an observer, sir. Any comments on this?
I think the police ought to spend their time fighting crime instead of hassling people for nothing. I mean, the guy sitting here on a bench has a right to do that like any other citizen. He has his belongings here in a cart. I see many people carrying their belongings in little carts. I don't see any problem. I think the cops are really, in this town especially, in want of something to do. They like to pick on helpless people that can't defend themselves. Makes them feel like big tough guys. I know I was riding my bike a couple of weeks ago, and they swooped on me with red lights. I was going the wrong way on a one-way street, which is normally a two-way street, but there was some construction over here.
And Cooper House Street.
Yeah, I couldn't believe what the guy did. I mean, he turned his red lights on and came. He also went the wrong way on a one-way street and swooping down on me like I just robbed a bank. I couldn't believe it. And he was really mean, you know. It wasn't even none of this phony sir stuff. It was like, put the bike down, get over there, keep your hands where I can see, you know. Like,
who was the officer?
I don't remember his name. He didn't give me a ticket,
you guys,
though.
You gotta start getting officers' names, please.
Well, if
I'd
got a ticket, I would have, but I didn't feel like asking him, what's your name? I thought that might have earned me a ticket.
Right, his name was not visible?
It probably was. It was dark, and I couldn't,
What day was this?
This was just before they opened the street back up.
I see, it was about a month ago or something?
Yeah.
So, Robert, you want to say who you are for this paper?
My name's Jim, J.P., Jim the Poet.
And you actually have been a poet and a street habitué for some time. In fact, you were a street spirit vendor several years ago.
Yeah, I was homeless for a couple of years here.
Are you homeless now?
No. Mm-hmm. No, but no. That's no thanks to the Homeless Service Center.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I notice they carefully keep the word shelter out of their name, but... Right. All I did from hanging out there was got all my belongings ripped off, you know, by using one of their lockers. So I just kind of stay away from there unless I'm, like, really, really hungry.
Thank you, Jim. Perhaps we can draw on you as a new... We're looking for a new coordinator for the street spirit, if you're interested.
Yeah, I might give that some thought. Thank you, Robert, and good luck, Steve.
You're at the same number?
Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Hard, right? Give it to me again. So, Robert, is this the only time you've been hassled in front of here, or have you been contacted more than once for sitting on this bench in front of Bunny's Shoes on Pacific?
The host people who walk around, they've contacted me.
What have they said?
Oh, they tried to tell me to move around and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And what's your response been?
No, I don't want to. And, yeah, basically.
Maybe they should offer you more incentive, say $100 to move to another bench.
That really wouldn't do it. I did ask for shelter, and they asked what I needed. One of them did ask, and I said, you know, they'd give me a place. And they said, well, if I would work for it, they would give me, they might be able to find something. And I don't feel like working right now, so.
One of those lazy homeless bums we've heard so much about.
That's me. I'm completely lazy.
Right.
I practice being lazy, in fact.
So. Where does it go from here? You've got a sleeping bag and you sleep in an undisclosed location at night in order to avoid a violation of your probation?
Yes.
Or have you abandoned your... And of course, you realize that any time they give you a ticket, which is more than an infraction, and they could probably cook up something, they can move to violate your probation.
Yes, I'm very aware of that. And that's why when they told me to get rid of the cart, I did it right away, because I don't want to go to back.
Get hassled again, please give me a call at 423-HUFF. I'll give you a flyer. I want to hear about it.
All right, I'll do so.
And you can also come to the next Homeless Icky Task Force meeting if you're interested.
Okay.
That's Monday at 5:30 at the ABC room of the Municipal Auditorium. Probably Marilyn may have mentioned it to you.
Okay.
And this will be played on Free Radio Santa Cruz on Sunday, sometime between 11 and 1:30 in the afternoon if you're interested.
Oh, I'll find the radio.
I'll give you a flyer and I'll be right back.
All right.
Anything you want to add?
No, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that was Robert Steffen, interviewed a few days ago from his bench side seat, or his, I should say, mall side seat on a bench next to Bunny's Shoes, where apparently he's already getting harassed by hosts and police, his shopping cart confiscated in an infamous imitation of what's going on up in San Francisco. And just sort of apropos of that, I want to report favorably that up in San Francisco, after this election eve crowd-pleasing, bigot-loving program to seize carts of the homeless was proposed by Mayor Brown and his police pals, it actually was dumped, and there's a long story on that, but first let's take this incoming phone call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Marilyn Weaver calling.
Oh, Marilyn, you must have been listening to our show.
I was, and I want to thank you for that interview with Robert Steffen.
Now, Marilyn, you're a member of the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Yes.
And you're also an individual who has a pending legal action against the Homeless Services Center for a police invasion of your home.
No, that's all been taken care of, but we did follow through on all that.
I know we talked about Officer Seeley's telling you have no rights. And
right.
In fact, I guess you filed a complaint with the Citizens Police Review Board.
Well, actually, I guess you could say it's still pending, I guess, because we haven't found out the outcome of the Internal Affairs and Police Review Board.
Yeah, they actually acted on that complaint last Monday, but they require 5 working days, and then they will inform you. I, too, had a complaint, and we're going to be reviewing some of that board session later in the show. I've got some of it recorded, so you'll be able to hear that.
Okay.
But I take it you're calling in about Robert Steffen.
Yes, I was impressed that you got that interview with him so that people can really know what is actually taking place out there in the world and at the Homeless Services Center. And I think the community needs to know, because they have a false impression that that corner of River Street and Coral Street takes care of all the needs of the homeless population in this town, and it doesn't. It doesn't address the needs of everyone.
Well, it doesn't address anybody's shelter needs at night except for a very small percentage, 5%.
Right.
And I guess it'll go up to 20% when the Armory opens in mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really, and it's not a shelter at all at night. In fact, well, it's a shelter for the few
the
lucky.
The daytime resource center, the Coral Street side, and the other side that is that do have shelter.
Well, it's not an emergency shelter for anyone except the employees who work there, right?
Well, that's supposed to not even be happening anymore.
I know that was always the case when Karen Gillette ran the center, and I don't know if it's true when Ken's running it or not. Ken Cole,
I think the new policy is no one stays on site anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think it's, whatever that is, changes, it might be a good change, but I think that Robert Steffen's case is a prime example of the need for better facilities, maybe not better, other alternative facilities for people who don't fit into their criteria down there.
Well, it's not even alternative facilities, though. I think you're right. We do need alternative facilities. We need wet camps.
Right.
We need, you have a number of people who are drug abusers, and if that's the reality of it, what are you going to put them out and have them either, die of exposure or get arrested for violating the sleeping ban? I mean, it's just stupid stuff. And it's based upon this hysteria around drugs and alcohol, though I admit alcohol is certainly a much more dangerous drug than almost any other, with the exception of nicotine, of course, which kills more than about twice or three times as many as alcohol, but at least doesn't produce behavioral problems.
Mm-hmm.
This whole issue would not have come to my attention, at least not as quickly, had you not been such a diligent advocate bringing up this issue repeatedly in your new role as a... I guess it's a commissioner of the Homeless Issues Task Force, a member there. You brought it up. You were insistent and eloquent in bringing it forward to this task force, which I remind those listening meets Monday. It's every other Monday, and it'll be this coming Monday, tomorrow, 5:30 at the ABC room of the Municipal Auditorium, which is right across from City Hall and kitty corner from the main library, for those of you who don't know where it is. And I was going to just suggest and see what you think of this idea, Marilyn, that those who want something done about the shelter crisis and this outrageous case of Robert, who is forced to use jail as a shelter, to call Mayor Byers, that's Sleeping Ban Byers, as I call her. Her number is 420-5020. It's pretty easy to remember, 420-5020. And you'll then get a long message, but it's 24 hours, and 24-hour message. You can call it at any time, even today on Sunday, and just say, I want you to look into the case of Robert Steffen, and I also want you to make sure that there is adequate shelter this winter for people, and some suspension, presumably an abolition of the camping ordinance, or if you can't do that, of the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance. It should not be criminal for people to sleep.
And Byers is not only the mayor of our town and the key swing vote on the city council, she is also an influential member of the Homeless Services Center Board of Directors. Isn't that true?
That's true. Now, that's an excellent idea. People can do that, and they can, because everyone on the task force is trying to make good changes. And actually, I must compliment Ken Cole. He's making good changes, and his heart's in the right place. The hard job he took on, I hope he realizes that this is an outstanding example of what does happen, and he may not even know of all of it that happens. People are targeted sometimes, and as you see what happened to Robert, this is what.
And if anybody wants to help Robert Steffens specifically, maybe they should give you, have you still got a voicemail, Marilyn? I don't know.
I do have a voicemail.
Maybe they can give you a call, because I know Robert was asking. He's saying his cart was about to break and he needs a new one.
He needs a new kind of like those groceries, those little pull-along.
And I frankly don't think he's going to last too long on Pacific Avenue as the police continue their crackdown. So I think it's going to be necessary to have some real support here. Maybe you should give a phone number you can be reached at?
I do have a voicemail, and that's 9754, extension 1042.
So again, that's 457-9754, extension 1042, and that is a voicemail, but for anyone out there who wants to help out Robert, and I got to tell you, the guy smells fine to me.
He looks rubby,
you know, there's no question about it, but he smells fine, and he's mild, as you can hear, soft-spoken, completely rational, very articulate, and I really kind of resented hearing Ken Cole saying the other day that he thought this, he had psychological problems or something. I mean, I don't... Maybe you know him better. Maybe he does.
Perfectly lucid to me, and very intelligent, and you know, I just think he was just targeted. He was.
I think the city has psychological. I think the city officials who run these programs and who make it legal for homeless people to sleep are the ones who have. Actually, they have profound spiritual and moral problems. Is what they have.
This man is such a nice person to talk with, and I think he's got, you know, a lot more going for him in his soul and his spirit and his mind than most people do. He's an honest person, and he lives up to what he believes, and he has a lot of integrity. And it wouldn't even matter if it was someone who wasn't articulate or anything. It's just wrong. What happened to him has happened to other people, and it is not okay, and there needs to be, the problem needs to be addressed, and we have to have some alternative sites for people like this. It just, not one program works for everyone, and there just has to be flexibility, and that has to be.
I mean, and again, I mean, that's certainly true, but there isn't even one program that works, even if everyone were, you know, willing to, you know, come in and weren't lactose intolerant and showed up on time and didn't have a job they had to go to at a certain time at night and didn't have pets and didn't have alcohol problems and didn't have this and didn't have that. There would still be room at the present. And under the present circumstances, for only 5% of the 500 to 1,500 homeless people who are outdoors every night, the rest of them would face a $54 fine, and harassment, you know, and or the opportunity to stay awake all night. I guess that's the solution that the city is proposing. You know, spend your night in Denny's, you know, drinking coffee, or spend your night walking around the streets. I mean, I've heard of Night Patrol. That's the new group that's trying to stop troll busing. They're walking around at night, so maybe we should have homeless Night Patrol marching around. In fact, there's a website on the internet that talks about arming the homeless. And I suppose, you know, maybe it's good to start applying the Second Amendment to homeless people, like the Black Panthers did back during the '60s. I hope it doesn't come to that.
Well,
when people are getting beaten,
I hate to think of any kind of weapons. Ever.
Of course, me too. I'm a nonviolent
guy.
You
can be militant without having weapons too, if you know what I mean.
But you know, the city uses weapons against homeless people all the time, and you know, it's vicious to deny people the basic needs that each of us essentially has to have met in order to remain sane or to remain alive.
Yes.
And when that starts being violated, I think people have a right to shelter themselves, and they have a right to defend themselves if they're attacked by troll busters and police departments fail to take action or collude in this process or obscure what's going on. From those of us who are trying to help out, I know that we heard, you know, lots of fancy fairy stories from Sergeants Baker and Clark and Officer Seeley back in the spring when Joe Barker and Larry Cessna and Randy Stitz were all beaten up by troll busters, and they did finally make one arrest. And we're going to hear this interview with Aaron Birch later, the man who was convicted of assaulting Aaron Birch. But there were six people who assaulted him, according to Frank and according to... According to Joe Barker, the guy was attacked, and according to his companion that night, who we interviewed, a man named Ron. And so, you know, the police are not taking significant action. They refuse to call these things hate crimes. They don't return phone calls. And it's just, it's scandalous. Although I have to say that Sergeant Sepulveda, in an end run around this concern, which is, you know, getting a little bit so intense that maybe he had to do something, has made a personal promise. Sergeant Sepulveda is the head of the Internal Affairs Department of the Citizens Police Review Board, and he spoke last Monday at that board meeting, and he made a promise. I'm going to play that, I hope, later in the air. On the air, which talks about, it says, if any homeless person, any person comes to me with an assault charge that he has been attacked, and he might have even extended to say someone I know has been attacked, I will not ID that person, I will not look up their record, I will not warrant check them. And he made that as a specific public promise. And who knows, I'm not sure what Sepulveda's word is worth, but I said, you know, one would like to think he should be kept, he could be taken to his word when he makes it in a public forum in that way. So who knows? I mean, you know, that might be a positive sign. Unfortunately, I continue to be very skeptical. Sepulveda has been hostile about taking complaints in the past, at least one complaint particularly, that of Laura Tucker, who is also a homeless issues task force person, a member and now a staff worker on that body, when she tried to complain about a woman who was being handcuffed by an officer and screaming that the cuffs were too tight. Sepulveda spent his time trying to talk her out of filing a complaint, and only when she forced the issue did he take the requisite information, according to what she said, and she later filed a complaint about that issue. So,
yeah, I think it's extremely sad that that homeless people, when they are beaten, don't feel as though they can call the police for help because of just that kind of stuff. I mean, just because if they have warrants or because of old camping tickets or whatever, they have to worry about that now.
Well, I know the shelters...
Something's not working if that has to happen.
Oh, definitely. And I know that, of course, the big thing that's not working is homeless people can't engage in natural self-defense by sleeping together in camps or in larger groups or in well-lit areas, and then they can't make... Right, it brings the attention
to
the police.
It's easier to make a clean sweep if the police want to come.
Right, which apparently is being done, at least out in the county. I spoke to Chris, the musician, on the mall the other day, last night, in fact. He was sleeping out on 41st, which is outside the city, but there is still a ban on camping and sleeping of a sort in the county. I mean, I'd earlier talked about this last spring, that there was not a ban on sleeping in your vehicles. I was wrong on that issue. Yeah. There is a ban on sleeping in your vehicles and then sleeping on any public property that's near a road or a right-of-way or in any county park, and which doesn't leave much. I don't know where you could find a place to sleep in the county, theoretically.
Basically, there is no place you can park legally and sleep in your car unless you do it during the day.
Yeah, well, no, even during the day. That's the interesting thing.
Well, certain
thing.
Areas, I guess,
I mean, during the day, it's legal in the city to do that, but in the county, I'm not aware of the time restrictions in the county at this moment, but...
10 to 6 up on the coast, anyway, it used to be.
Right, well, I know up on the coast, they have parking restrictions, which is still another layer of harassment that people face, but I'm not...
It's been one, actually.
You know, I'm talking about places where it's legal to park, but if you're caught sleeping at night, even outside the city in the county, you know, you'll get those deputies on your tail running you. This guy got a camping citation from a county sheriff, and he got it a week ago. He's actually been successful in sleeping around at different places without harassment for 3 years. Now he's getting harassed. He said the night before there were 6 or 7 citations given out in the county. Again, this was at the near the Kmart, where people gather for day labor in the morning. So, you know, the harassment isn't just happening in the city. It's happening in the county as well. And I mean,
a lot on the North Coast, I've heard.
And I would imagine that as well. Like, do you have any details on that one, Meryl?
No, people just say you can't park anywhere anymore. They're always hassling you. And it used to be that pretty much the only time you'd get hassled was during the summer months between Memorial Day and Labor Day. That was the big time when there's the day before a beach cleanup. And that was the main time to get hassled.
Well, Marilyn, you worked for a number of years for the Homeless Services Center, right?
A little under a year, 11 months.
For about a year. Then it was called the Homeless Community Resource Center when it was run by Karen Gillette.
Uh-huh.
I know Karen is back in town. I've seen her at the courthouse. And I know that she resigned, I guess, the impression I get is she resigned because the mayor wanted her out. They didn't feel she could handle the combination of grants and that the kind of cronyism was going on and the misappropriation of donated goods would not stand close scrutiny. And it may not have been that she made conscious choices, but she was the ultimately responsible person in that situation, and that was my understanding as to why she eventually went, even though, you know, no doubt it was said that she's just burned out and tired. That's not the impression I got, and I'm not saying it's an easy job, and but I think that I guess she had that job as a sort of golden parachute for, I don't know what, 7 years, 8 years, you know, she could do no wrong on that job, even when her cronies beat up homeless activists, even when her cronies terrorized homeless activists downtown. And I remember when Don Lane was mayor, we did a little protest out at the, when they closed the field, the back 40, in October. Again, with the pretext they were going to build Community House, which actually began building 6 years later. They arrested a bunch of people, and somebody burned their porta potty, and they then took the porta potty, covered it with graffiti, that is to say, the Karen Gillette and her friends, and dumped it on the lawn of where Jane Immler and I were staying at a rented house. And it was covered with, you know, threatening graffiti. And we took this to the city council and the police, and of course they wouldn't do anything about it. It was their idea of a little joke. If some homeless activist pulled that on the mayor, you know, there would be jail time involved. But this woman, it was untouchable during that period of time. So I'm glad that there was a changeover from Gillette to Cole, and I'm glad you're telling me that Cole is responding. And I know he has been raising measures at the Homeless Issues Task Force. Yeah. I know on Monday, what's coming up, there's an issue for, they've already proposed that the entire camping ordinance be thrown out, although the mayor hasn't seen fit to put that on the agenda or even to allow the Homeless Issues Task Force to present it. Presumably she will soon. They also are bringing up issues like informing people of their rights in court on homeless issues, camping ordinance types tickets. They're bringing up the issue of opening up the parks at night as from dusk to dawn safe zones. And I guess there's a plan to institute this new provision of the current camping ordinance, which says that if the winter armory shelter is full, which I guess should open in November, that the tickets can be dismissed under the camping ordinance. And that'll be coming up, and they'll be directing the... they always have this little gimmick they use, which they say that the armory is never full. But in fact, if a specific capacity is made very public, then once it passes that capacity, it's full, and it's time just to dump all other camping tickets. You cannot legally do that. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm sorry, I'm using you to rage at you. And
that's okay. Don't all you want.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Great. Well,
I should, yeah.
And you know, a lot of good ideas are coming out of the task force subcommittees, and I think a lot of good will come out of this. Everybody really is dedicated to changing things for the better, and we just hope that the city council is going to take note and really act on things and not just... whatever.
I hope you're right.
Let it go and say, well, not now, or we've decided this isn't going to work right now. I mean, because the emergency is now, it's an emergency every night when someone can't find a place to be or gets arrested for sleeping.
Or ticketed, yeah. I mean, I know when I talked to the mayor, I talked to her 2 days ago and asked her, what's the story here? I'd like to talk to you about the Homeless Issues Task Force stuff. She says, the only thing I want to see coming out of the Homeless Issues Task Force is proposals around services. Nothing else. In other words, not shelter per se, but I guess services might include shelter. She isn't interested.
Current services better.
Right. She isn't. I think so. She's interested. She's not interested in civil rights. She's not interested in massively expanded shelter. She's interested in some sort of, you know, minor improvements in services. And I'm afraid she has a rude shock awaiting her. And I'm hoping that the Homeless Issues Task Force's steady progress in documenting this obscenity that's going on in our city and our county. This the way homeless people are generally treated here. Can merge with protests that are going on downtown. I know for the last week we've started to reappear downtown. HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, has had a table. We're planning protests between Thanksgiving and Christmas that will make it very clear to tourists and other consumers downtown that the places to shop are not at the stores that support anti-homeless laws, that is to say most of the stores downtown. We're going to encourage them to go somewhere else. And so I'm thinking that, you know, with this kind of, if we do it in a prepared way this year, that is, you know, where we actually have a clear, well-organized series of protests, it may have some significant impact.
You know, I hope something works, yeah. Because I feel as though, this is my gut feeling and my real feeling about what they do provide for the homeless as far as services are concerned, and, you know, River Street and Coral Street, and it does help some people. But I think the basic idea around even creating those services was to get the homeless people out of the eye of the public and out of downtown, so that it would not, so that the downtown merchants could feel like they could get on with business, because they don't want to see scruffy people outside their stores. Or, I mean, it's really unfortunate that there is a feeling in people's heart that they can't stand. I think it's because it's scary to most people. A lot of people are a paycheck away from being on the street.
Puts a damper on the festive buying atmosphere. I mean, how can you have a big party if you have these killjoys?
Reality hits you in the face right up.
Yeah, I mean, you get rid of these people who are looking so gloomy.
That's pretty much what I think the mentality is. And I think that really most people, if they really, really knew the real truth, and there was an education of the community that they knew really what was going on, that they'd want to help, and they'd want to support measures to make things better for homeless and get them out of the situations they're in. Do whatever it takes to have people live their dream and get on with their lives, so that they aren't stuck sitting in a homeless shelter all the time or having to rely on the services.
Definitely.
I think education of the whole community is real important.
I hope we're doing right now, Marilyn. I'm gonna leave you now so I can get a few other callers in. But please stay with us, and if you hear something, if we forget something, or you want to add something, please call back.
Okay, and thank you again, Robert, for that great interview with Robert Stephan. That was real valuable.
And for those who want to help him, again, the phone number is 457-975-41042.